Okay, guys, hey, we are back. Debheads, Huddlestoners, guess what episode this is, Gary?
This is episode 39.
Wrong, this is episode 40.
What?
Yep, we're all the way to 40. We've got 12 more, and we will have done the full 52 for the year.
You know what, yeah, I got used to the summer's just going to go by, and I'm losing track of,
pretty much
everything. Nice, only back by a week.
Yeah, and I think we've missed 2 weeks this entire year. I think we had one due to technical issues, and then I think we took 4th of July week off, didn't we?
That's right.
Okay, all right, so yeah. By the way, I'm Jen, and as you already know, this is Carrie.
I'm Carrie.
And before we even get started, anything in the news, Entertainment Weekly or what have you, that might warrant our attention?
You know, it's just the stuff that's come out from Comic-Con about the new slate of MCU movies and some of their plans. Of course, we're not going to get to fruition with these until 2025, according to their schedules. But that being said, Marvel has been really, really great about setting these schedules and sticking to them. So, 2025 looks like we're getting not one, but two Avengers properties.
Nice. Although, you know, I'm sorry, the Avengers is not going to be as good anymore, because they do not have my Loki, so... You all right?
Yeah, pardon me.
Was it me that choked you up, or, you know?
No, well, but part and the excitement and the swig of bourbon.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, without Loki. Oh, and I got a spoiler alert, so anybody who doesn't want to hear a spoiler, don't listen. I had commented that I was thinking that Loki might show up in Thor: Love and Thunder. And he does. In flashbacks. In flashbacks. There are no additional... Anything you're going to see in Love and Thunder having to do with Loki, you have already seen before, so.
Well, and listen, Jen and other Tom Hiddleston fans, be of a solid heart, because these are Marvel properties, and as we know, there are so many ways to circumvent cheats and otherwise skip death.
I'm wondering.
So maybe we will. Maybe we will see them.
Right, yeah, and I was also wondering, because I thought the same thing, how many times has Loki died in every single movie?
It's going to end up being a complicated, almost Quentin Tarantino level, you know, the usual suspect sort of trick. Plus, I think that the second Doctor Strange movie has introduced us and opened us up to and giving us to kind of accept the multiverse.
Right. And I can't wait to see that one.
Right, right. And, you know, we talk about, well, Tony Stark's dead. There's no way. And, you know.
And we've got two more Avengers movies coming out, so obviously there is a way.
You know, there could be. Yeah, maybe they get another Tony Stark from another multiverse or whatever.
Cool. Huh.
And maybe Loki.
But actually, it was even before Stephen Strange, even before the second Doctor Strange movie. It was in... the last Spider-Man movie that we got introduced to the multiverse.
Ah, right. Yes, and it's almost kind of a back-to-back thing. And I think they're really trying to kind of prep the public, which is really, you know, yeah, I hope they do it.
Yeah,
you know, I will find it acceptable.
Right. And speaking of Doctor Strange, the scene, here we go, the scene in Ragnarok. At the end of Doctor Strange, where you see Doctor Strange meets Thor and puts Loki in the falling tube thing. That was actually, that was actually not supposed to be there. The director of Doctor Strange happened upon that clip after they had filmed Ragnarok and decided it was so perfect, he added it as a credit scene.
I've got to use it. Right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Speaking of, that is what we are doing tonight. We are talking about Thor Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Yes. This came out November 3rd, 2017. And, of course, starring Chris Hemsworth. However, there was another Hemsworth in this movie as well. Do you know which one it was?
You know, was it Liam?
No, actually, it was not Liam. It was Luke. Luke Hemsworth played the stage actor Thor.
Oh my God. All right, no, I didn't. You always stunt me, like, at least once on these.
Yeah, but speaking of Liam, Liam was actually the only Hemsworth that auditioned for the role of Thor.
Okay. You're gonna have to get a just a minute or so into detail.
Well, just like Tom Hiddleston never auditioned for the role of Loki, Chris Hemsworth never auditioned for the role of Thor. He was just along for the ride when baby brother went to audition.
Mm-hmm.
And they took one look at him and said, "Hey, you're perfect."
Yep. So, gotcha.
But yeah, two Hemsworth in this one. I thought that was kind of cool.
You know, and no ego bruise to your brother. Sorry, you're not great, but however, your brother over there. Oh, yeah.
Well, Chris is quite a bit bigger than Liam. So,
right.
You know, I can see where they'd go, "Okay, you are really, really good, but you are perfect." You
know? Right, right.
But this, I mean, talk about an all-star cast here. You've got Chris Hemsworth. You've got, of course, Tom Hiddleston. Cate Blanchett as Hela.
In her sexiest role ever, frankly.
Oh,
I
no
never knew
kidding.
That I was crushing on Cate Blanchett until this role. And I'm like, oh my God. They literally should have put, like, some Bauhaus, maybe The Cure.
Oh, The Cure would have been perfect. Oh, yeah. Oh, and I have a tidbit about the soundtrack as well. We'll get to that one. But Mark Ruffalo, Idris Elba, Tessa Thompson, Anthony Hopkins, Jeff Goldblum. All these people are in this movie. It's just incredible. Natalie Portman and Stellan Skarsgård are not in this one.
Yeah, Taika Waititi, though, the guy that, well, he's brilliant. And he's helping them kind of showrun Marvel.
Right, the one who directed this one.
Well, yeah, the guy that played Korg.
Okay, so you had seen. Yeah, he is the second. He's the second director to ever play a major role in his own movie for the MCU. He's only the second.
Is it next to Jon Favreau?
Yes, actually.
Yeah.
Plays Happy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never drew that connection. I knew the name. I knew he was brilliant. I knew he was, you know, an awesome director. I did not realize he was Happy.
Yeah. And now he's doing, he's helping show run some Star Wars stuff. You know, he did The Mandalorian and helped that. And that was a huge success.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of amazing talent, just, you know, if they're not directly, they're indirectly orbiting around these Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well,
movies.
You know, Stan Lee was, always will be, a genius. And, that's the bottom line. It's like, it's a privilege to be associated with him and with Marvel and with these movies. So, you know.
Amen, sister.
Have you ever seen it was a Netflix series called Once Upon a Time? Or, I'm sorry, a Disney series called Once Upon a Time.
Was it there were some princesses and that sort of thing?
Well, yeah, it's Disney. No, what it is
it
they
was
take...
on ABC instead of, you know, they put it on Netflix later, but it was ABC property.
It's on Disney now. But yeah, the storybook characters get transported to the real world, don't know each other, and don't know who they are, and yeah, that one. Do you remember Prince Charming, Snow White's husband? The man who played him was his guy by the name of Josh Dallas. Not in this movie, but in one of the previous Thors, he also plays Fandral.
with number two. Blowing my mind, and we're kind of early into the cast.
Oh, yeah, we're not even 15 minutes in yet.
Wow, you're kidding.
Nope.
Well, that is interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I thought it was. I mean, when I pulled up the cast list, I saw the picture, and I'm like, wait, no. That's, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yep. And he's very good. He really is. He's just got an unusual style about him.
Yeah, and you know, Jennifer Godwin, who played Snow White, I've always really, really loved her work.
And she is, she looks like a little pixie. I just love her.
Yeah, she's a magical pixie girl.
Yep. But yeah, this movie was huge as far as stars, as far as budget, as far as effects. I mean, this thing, there is, beside the word huge in the dictionary, is a still clip of this movie.
So, yeah, it was consummate. It was a spectacle.
Oh, it was incredible is what it was. The budget on this thing was $180 million, which is not even top end for Marvel.
Amazing. Yeah, but still, wow.
Yeah, box office take. What's your guess?
800-something.
Wow. Yeah, $854 million was the final total for box office.
It was a huge blockbuster, and they tried to approach $1 billion, even with overseas sales.
Oh, man, they got close.
Damn sure.
Yeah. And once again, we've been running on these a lot. I'm kind of surprised. The fans and the critics agreed. IMDb gave it a 7.9 out of 10. And Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 93%, which is incredible.
That's pretty high.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, I loved it. It's my favorite. I mean, I haven't seen Love and Thunder yet. But of the three that I've seen, it was by far, my favorite Thor movie.
Okay, why was there any one particular thing that just drew you to it, or was it just the entire thing?
You know, we talked about it before. It was the spectacle. And they really did kind of touch on it being a true fantasy science fiction, just epic.
Yes.
Lots of bright colors. Lots of intense, fast action. It reminded me, no kidding, of Flash Gordon, the original movie with the Queen soundtrack.
Yes.
But with a bloated budget, and it was actually amazing. Like, they actually, had a great cast, which they did not do with Flash Gordon. But
yeah,
it was very reminiscent of me to Flash Gordon.
Yeah, not having a great cast, you're absolutely right on that one.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and now that you say it, I'm like, that's what it reminds me of. So, yeah.
It's very Flash Gordon.
And now this thing was written by the combination of Craig Kyle and Christopher Yost. These two have worked together before on other movies as well, or on other original works as well. The screenplay, however, was done by Eric Pearson. And, of course, we've already mentioned the director. You're going to have to pronounce his name.
Taika Waititi.
Waititi. Okay, there we go.
Waititi.
Yeah, I've written it like 1,000 times in my notes, but I'm like, okay, yeah, we're going to have to work on that one.
Actually, if you don't mind my throwing this in, the original score, not just, the library of songs that they pulled it through, was done by Mark Mothersbaugh, and he is the brain behind Devo.
Ah, okay.
And
cool.
He works, he's very, very much an equivalent of Danny Elfman.
Yes, yes, yes. And, anybody, if there is anyone in this country that has not heard the name Danny Elfman, dude, come out from under your rock, okay?
You're obviously a secret Russian spy that hasn't done his homework.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, man was incredible. Speaking of the soundtrack, there's a band on the soundtrack that you don't hear very often for movies, TV, or any type of other than on their albums. Any idea who the band is?
Okay, and now I'm stymied again. No.
I'm very surprised. Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin does not allow their works to be used in movies or TV, any of that. They're known for almost never allowing that in feature films or anything. Or video games, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
The majority of the movies that actually are allowed to use Led Zeppelin music are usually related to the rock journalist Cameron Crowe.
Right. Almost Famous.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High is another one.
Where they did Kashmir.
Right. And so this is one of, I think there's like three, very short list, of movies that are, number one, not associated with Crowe in any way, and that are allowed to use the Zeppelin music. There's Ragnarok, there's School of Rock, that came out in 1998, and Small Soldiers. Or, I'm sorry, School of Rock came out in 2003, and 1998, Small Soldiers. That is it.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's...
Small Soldiers, I gotta look into that.
Yeah, it's it's a CGI type movie.
Oh my god. Right.
Okay.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, okay. It
quit. Well, you lead us through some really interesting rabbit holes.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm earmarking a third thing that I'm going to have to wiki walk.
Oh, one of the best lines in the whole movie. Hey, look, it's a friend from work. You know where he got that?
No.
That was actually not written. That was not written into the script. He got that line from a kid that was coming up to watch the taping of the movie. A Make-A-Wish child was talking to Hemsworth after, you know, while they were in between scenes or something. And he said that he gave Chris the line, and Chris liked it so much he used it in the movie.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, when you were talking about trying to find the quote here, you know how I am with my notes, but about it being just very visual and very science fiction-y and all of that, that was, Watiti will be very impressed because that is exactly what he was going for.
Right. And there's very organic.
Yeah, and there's another thing that's kind of different in this movie than in any other Thor movie. And that is Chris Hemsworth's, or Thor's, sense of irony and his humor.
Yes, it broke out.
And that was one of the things that Watiti wanted to showcase was his talents in the comic area, in the comedy ring. He said he realized when he first started talking to him that this is a really, really funny guy. So he's like, yeah, we're going to have to make sure we get this translated to the big screen, so.
Yeah, you know, Watiti is born, if you will, kind of a comedy writer. He does kind of funny shows. He did other funny stuff before, what we do in the Shadows.
I love that one. And you've got to love Korg.
Well, and you know, Chris Hemsworth, let's face it, he's got a very well-developed funny bone.
Oh, he does.
Great timing. Great banter.
Yep. Watiti also told MTV News, I would say we improvised probably 80% of the film.
Oh, ad-libbed
or threw in stuff. Yep.
Well, we did throw Jeff Goldblum in.
Oh, well, please.
Those were not scripted.
Oh, God, no. Half the things he does are not scripted in any of his movies.
Right.
But yeah, it was also another quote from Watiti is talking about Chris Hemsworth. He's legitimately one of the funniest things in this movie.
Yes. Without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say, and I'm going to throw this out there just very quickly, I prefer the Thor movies to the Iron Man movies because we've got a lot of both.
Okay.
And I do love Robert Downey Jr. And it would be hard for me to pick, but you know, and of course, you know, Hiddleston is often a linchpin to the plot.
Right. Now, he wasn't even supposed to be in the second movie.
Right.
And then he ends up being the character in the second movie. Right. They rewrote the whole script because of the response they got from Loki and Avengers.
He really made a great first impression, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's an amazing actor. He's got great talent.
In researching this, I've seen a few of their interviews. Of course, Hiddleston and Hemsworth together, you know, in interviews.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what a great duo.
Hiddleston has been, and he said it several different times, that Chris Hemsworth is the actor, if he has a choice, that he likes to work with. He said he's makes me a better actor. Is Hiddleston's comment.
Wow.
Yep. So, I came across something else that I knew, but I had forgotten, I guess, about the way the Marvel comic book deal goes. And it answers a lot of questions. Now, in the Marvel Comics universe, when a being becomes the last of its kind, that being is given immortality and becomes an elder of the universe, quote unquote. Which is, you know, you become an elder, and that's, of course, made up of other singularities that, you know, they're the last ones of their kind. This way, you don't ever have an extinct race, an extinct species. That being said, there are two very good examples of an elder of the universe. One is the Collector. He is an elder of the universe. The second is the Grandmaster.
Yes.
And you hear him when he makes a comment about, you know, elsewhere he'd be, you know, over 2 million years old or something like that. This is why. He is the last of his race, and he is an elder. But that explains a whole lot about a few different comments and things in various movies that it didn't click until I read that. I'm like, people knew about that.
This is a Thor movie. And when we put Loki in perspective to these movies, you know, Thor really honestly would not be Thor were it not for Loki.
Oh, agreed. 100%.
Yeah. Hiddleston, I think, has contributed a great, great deal to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, he certainly has, and I'm hoping we'll see more of him, but, you know, who knows?
He seems pretty friendly with the franchise, and he has a blast. You know, it's pretty obvious.
And unlike another one of our favorite people, he makes it a habit to know his lines, you know, have everything memorized, be on time. You know, he's very good about the, you know, one taken out. So, yeah, directors love him. Other actors love him.
Yep.
Writers
yep.
love him. And yep. the friggin' camera loves him. So
absolutely. That being said, he is still probably the most, certainly the most charismatic and photogenic.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, it was a good, you know.
I mean, hey, he got, let's see, God, how many? 10 different movies out of Loki, out of that character. So he got all of the Avengers movies. He got 3 of the Thor movies. So yeah, I mean, you know, not a bad run.
Not at all.
And you did mention earlier that the director, Waititi, actually played Korg,
right.
The big rock guy.
Yes.
Yeah. And he was so, unintentionally funny. It was great. But, But Waititi actually based the way he played Korg on Polynesian bouncers. And I read that and I'm going, what?
Yeah.
Why? Well, I found an interview and he said that Polynesian bouncers are so big that they don't need to be aggressive. You know, they can afford to be nice and friendly and mild-mannered because they're just huge.
You know, no matter his charm, you know when you step up to that guy, you're not going to start a fight with him.
Oh, no, no, no. And you're not going to start a fight around him, just in case. But now we mentioned... Oh, go ahead.
Well, he ended up for my local group of friends, that exchange where Thor first meets Morgan.
The rock, and paper, scissors joke?
Huh?
The rock, paper, scissors joke?
No, it was where Thor said, so who has challenged the Grandmaster's champion?
Right.
And Korg says, oh, it's Doug.
Right.
And he points to a dead body, and he's like,
but
Doug
Doug's dead.
And then he ends up wishing him farewell by saying, good luck, new Doug.
Yep.
And my very good friend Doug, we keep reminding him that his time is short.
Uh-oh. Well, that's not very nice, but it's funny.
My friend Doug is in the Marvel Cinematic.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, I can see him right now, just kind of shaking his head going,
God.
Yeah.
Man, huh?
But yeah, there's a couple of characters that you do not see in this Thor movie that you're used to seeing when it comes to Thor. Stellan Skarsgård, Natalie Portman, and Kat Dennings, yes. You don't see any one of these three. Now, as far as Natalie Portman is concerned, she had actually told them that she was not interested in doing any more of the Thor movies. She was done. I guess it played out for her, and it's not like she was mad at the company or the corporation or any of that. She was just tired of doing, Jane.
She wanted to move on to other things.
Right. So now she changed her mind when she read the script for Love and Thunder. It is what changed her mind about that. But now there's another actor who also said that he was not interested in doing any more of the Thor movies. And that is Sir Anthony Hopkins. It had played out for him. And I mean, really, it's kind of just a bit thing here and there as well. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Anthony is used to being the star. Face it.
Yeah.
But they sent him the script, just on the off chance, for Ragnarok, and it worked. He changed his mind, came back, and did Odin again.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was not going to do it either, and he's just like, wait, this is kind of cool. I like this one. Okay, we'll do it.
Well, you know, with a lot of these people, and I will throw Portman in there. They're used to other projects that are very interesting and very high paying.
Right.
And this might have been, I don't know, and I'm sure that they would have rejected it because they've got enough money if it wasn't a good script. But let's face it, they got a good script and they got paid.
Yeah, well, that's true. Absolutely. I do not remember. I know Barry was co-hosting when we discussed the Hulk and who voiced the Hulk. I don't remember if you were in there with us or not, but the Hulk was voiced by Lou Ferrigno.
That's right. Yeah.
This is actually the very first, movie that the Hulk is actually voiced by Ruffalo, Mark Ruffalo, instead of Lou Ferrigno. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. You don't hear about that. Yeah, I mean, you don't hear about Ruffalo actually stepping out like that.
And, you know, hey, he's talented. And he is, quote-unquote, the Hulk. That being said, I do really appreciate that they fought for Ringo in this first few.
Right. Yeah, because they played around with different sounds and couldn't get the Hulk's voice right, so they just went back to the original.
Yep.
Okay, guys, I'm sorry we had a little pause there, had an issue we had to deal with, so we were talking about the Hulk. right?
If we were.
Okay. Excellent. Oh, let's see. Oh, and you mentioned your Kate Blanchett crush. Yeah, she was not going to do the movie. She told him no. And then
I was surprised to see her there, to be honest.
Well, then one of her sons, let's see, Dashiell John Upton is her son's name. I actually found the script and the request and said, "Mom, you're doing this, right?
You gotta do this."
And I mean, he actually told her, he's like, he told her that the role of Hela could definitely be a career boost. Like, she really needs it. Come on, it's Kate Blanchett. But
yeah.
But yeah, her son told her that that Hela could be a career booster.
Yeah.
Yup. Oh, and speaking of, in mythology, and I didn't realize this, but in the Marvel Comics universe, Loki is the father of Hela and not her stepbrother.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, did we lose you? You got really quiet.
Well, I thought that he was Odin's oldest.
That is how they portray it in the movie.
In the movie, gotcha. With
right.
Gotcha.
But in the comics, as well as in Norse mythology.
In actual mythology.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Loki has 3 children. Some people say 4. The World Serpent, Hela, Fenrir, and some people also credit Loki for mothering the 8-legged Sleipnir.
Wow.
The 8-legged steed, so.
Wow, Fenrir.
Yeah, Fenrir the wolf.
The giant wolf.
Yes.
Yes,
yes. Yes. Also having a lot of people take Fenrir as the founder, the basis, the first werewolf as well.
Sure.
So, yeah. But yeah, I just thought that was really interesting that they played it out like they did, with the comics actually coming, in line with Norse mythology. It kind of struck me as strange, but, you know, they do what they do.
Yeah, totally, they do.
Now, y'all?
You know, a lot of people say he was the basis of the Big Bad Wolf and Little Red Riding Hood.
Huh. No, that would actually make sense.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, Grandmaster, in his tower, it features, have you noticed any of the statues of his former champions that are sitting around?
I saw them, but...
Saw a few?
What are you about to blow me away with?
Did you recognize any of them?
I didn't really... No.
All right.
But you're about to pop me with something.
I am. These statues are as follows. Top left is let me see how I read my own writing here. I cannot see what I wrote. Beta Ray Bill
is
in the top left.
Kidding?
Top center.
Oh my God.
Top center is the supernatural entity Man-Thing.
What?
Top right is the Greek god Ares.
Okay.
Bottom right is the android monster, the Bi-Beast.
Okay.
Bottom left is the alien Fin Fan Foom. Don't ask me where that came from.
Fin Fan Foom.
Yep. And
I didn't pay attention.
And the bottom left is the Nightcrawler, not to be confused with Nightcrawler from X-Men. Different creature. But yeah, this is Night-Crawler, not Nightcrawler, so.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the, all of the statues are from other Marvel creatures.
Yeah, I love Man-Thing. He's kind of like Swamp Thing, you know, in DC.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, because see, I recognized a couple of these names, but not enough to be like, okay, I can see them in my mind's eye. But,
Fin Fan Foom is kind of a god of dragons.
Cool. All right. Oh, and I mentioned irony. You know how this movie, Thor, plays a lot with the irony and with the comedy and that kind of thing. Well, this is by far the most ironic Thor movie in the series. You know why?
Why?
Well, Thor is the god of thunder, which is associated with lightning, and he keeps getting electrocuted. The god of mischief, Loki, is continuously being tricked.
You're right.
And the goddess of death dies.
And that's remarkable. Wow. Wow.
So yeah, very, very ironic.
Yeah, that's good screenwriting. Actually, that's really cool. Almost a full anti-circle.
Right. And you notice it most with Thor, because you're like, dude, he's a god of thunder. Why is that affecting him? It shouldn't, you know?
Yeah.
But when it was pointed out, yep, Loki is continuously being tricked, and the goddess of death dies, I'm like, wow, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
but yeah, that's... I loved that when I read it. There's a lot of symbolism going back to your Roman gladiators as well in this movie.
Okay.
Now, you remember...
Very Planet Hulk from the comics.
Yes.
Planet Hulk, right?
Yes, absolutely. But Stanley always did his cameos, and do you remember where his cameo was in this one?
He's done so freaking many that I don't.
This one is iconic, though. He's the one who cuts Thor's hair.
Oh my god.
But that is actually a throwback to the Roman gladiators. Anytime someone was chosen, one of the slaves was chosen to, you know, become a gladiator, that's one of the first things they did, was cut the hair short and, you know, less for your opponent to grab onto, apparently.
Sure. Right.
And also, the winged helmet that Thor wears when he goes into the arena for the battle. That is what his helmet looks like in Norse mythology. And
it's classic. It's classic.
Mm-hmm. Pardon me, I'm so sorry. And it is featured in the comic books as well.
Yeah, that is his look, you know. Whenever, I mean, for decades.
Right.
You know, Thor with the winged helmet.
Right. That's how you knew it was Thor.
Yeah, right. You know, exactly.
You didn't have to read anything. You didn't have to look at it. You know, you just saw that helmet and you knew.
It was pretty much the helmet and the hammer.
Right. Yep. And another tossback to the gladiators is when Thor goes in to fight. You see Korg and a bunch of the other guys watching through that little barred window. That is how the Colosseum is set up, actually. The other slaves can keep track of who's winning and who they may have to fight. So, yeah. There's that, too. Let's see. The movie, and you mentioned the Planet Hulk thing.
Right.
It's mainly based on the storyline, the Thor storyline, Ragnarok, and also the Surtur saga storyline is also based there. It does, however, incorporate a lot of the plot lines and things from Contest of Champions.
Uh-huh.
And Planet Hulk, of course, as you've already mentioned.
They bought the collector in, I think, you know, to kind of tie it all in.
Right. And something else, too, now, when he talks to Hulk, he tells the Hulk that he's been missing for, like, years.
Yeah.
You know, once he finally calms down and becomes Bruce Banner again. I didn't notice it until it was pointed out. One of the big movies that I would have assumed that you would see both Hulk and Thor in, they're not there. And that is Civil War. The reason they're not in civil war is because, oh, let's see, they're stranded on a frigging planet, you know, with the Grandmaster and trying to get back.
Right. It's a simultaneous, if you will.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And of course, you know, I'm glad they didn't have a minute.
Right. That way, I think Banner. Oh, Banner would have lost his mind trying to decide which way to go.
Yeah, it would have been like a 7-minute movie. You know,
pretty much.
And that's one of the reasons I really loved Civil War, is because they had that kind of, you know, it's basically humans or augmented humans, whereas, you know, Thor, we're talking about gods.
Right.
You know, we're talking about, you know, the Hulk, who is essentially just almost a force of nature.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's very convenient, and it really, really, really worked out that they weren't around to essentially interfere with the story, for lack of a better word.
Right. Yeah. And I think you're right. That would have been just you would have to put one on one side and one on the other.
Yeah.
To try to balance.
Well, it was very much kind of like, you know, Civil War was kind of like a James Bond movie, and then all of a sudden Superman shows up, and you're like, well, I guess.
I guess that movie's over. Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. True.
They're brilliant in how they showrun this stuff.
They are, and just the way that there's such a good flow throughout all of the different movies. You know, you can kind of keep up, even if you have your favorites. Like me, you know, I've got my Thor and my Avengers. Those are my movies. You know, but I can still watch Iron Man or you know, Black Widow and be caught up.
Right.
Understand it. Yeah, I love it.
And, you know, you can even go off to the side and do WandaVision if that's
right,
kind of
right.
Thing, you know.
Speaking of, wow.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I found out who the bad guy is in Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm hurt.
Whoa, okay, really, let's talk about
it. Do you know who the bad guy is in Multiverse? Scarlet Witch.
I was going to say don't tell me because I haven't seen it and I don't want spoilers.
Oh no, honey, it's not going to spoil anything for you. Trust me. From what I've heard, oh yeah. But yeah, Scarlet Witch is supposed to be the bad guy, which really blew my mind.
Well, you know, they also say not to do spoilers since we're doing it, but apparently she dies, but it's ambiguous.
Hmm.
Right.
All right.
Elizabeth Olsen to say yay or nay if she wants to come back.
Ah,
you know?
Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, but yeah, I can't wait to see that one. That one, Love and Thunder. God, there's all kinds.
Sure.
I tell you what, I'm going to have to start telling family and friends. Birthday, movie tickets. Christmas, movie tickets. don't pick the movie. Just give me the movie. You know, just go online and be like, hey, there you go. You got credit.
You know, give me the DVDs because as much as I love Disney Plus for the premium movies, they're like, you can stream it for literally the price of purchasing the movie at Walmart anyway. So.
Right. Yeah, they have gotten, I'm wondering, I'm waiting for movie theaters themselves to become a thing of the past. I really am. I mean, it's going the same way. You can get everything right now straight from, you don't even have to move out of your chair. You just got to hit a button on your remote.
You know, a friend of mine and I split the cost to watch the Black Widow movie, and it was streaming on Disney, but it was $19.99.
Wow.
And hey, thankfully, it was a pretty good movie. But, you know, maybe you're right. It's kind of a thing of the past.
Well, no, the streaming is where it's going. The actual theater tickets, going to
the
theater.
Yeah, the theaters are a thing of the past.
Yeah. I mean, really, come on. This whole internet thing was supposed to open the world up for everybody. Seems to me like it's kind of closing it down.
Well, you know, that being said, I've always enjoyed a theater experience.
True.
You pay for the ticket and it's a little bit inflated, and I know they spent money on these movies, but the popcorn, the soda,
yeah,
you know.
For two people.
My daughter and I ended up seeing first Suicide Squad movie on a matinee several years ago, and we ended up treating ourselves fantastically. That being said, it was $50.
Oh, yeah.
Back in, what, 2015? Yeah. Or whatever? And yeah. We absolutely could have done that at home, you know, in our pajamas.
For like
some,
$10.
With some Domino's pizza.
And
you know,
microwave popcorn.
You know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a movie. Movie theaters, going to a theater has always been expensive. But it's getting just incredibly ridiculous now.
Oh, my gosh.
Excuse me. Goodness. But yeah, it's just ugh. Now, oh my goodness, we're already 45 minutes in and I have not even gotten to not even a third of my notes here. However, if you have time, we can run a little longer tonight because we cut it a little short last week. So, or not last week, week before. The Hiddleston's woman thing.
Well, let's hit it really quick because A,
yeah.
We need to talk about Hiddleston. B, I'm definitely interested.
Okay, great. Now, Hemsworth, not Hiddleston, Hemsworth, actually had dropped below his Dark World weight when he came back to do Ragnarok. So for a period of like 6 or 8 weeks to get back to where he should be, he had to eat a 6,000 calorie a day diet.
Okay.
He was working out every single day, 6-7 times a week. And, he was on a very strict routine to bulk him back up into, you know, his Thor fighting weight, basically.
That actually does sound, seriously, that sounds like a difficult job to have. Like, that's his job requirement.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah. That's part of what keeps him on that screen, so. And Ragnarok itself, the word Ragnarok translates to the fate of the gods. So, a lot of people confuse it with Gotterdammerung. I don't know why, but apparently that happens. But the Ragnarok cycle, which is how it's described in Norse mythology, is it actually tells the events of the destruction of not only Asgard, but mankind, the universe, everything. The deaths of Odin, Thor, Loki, Heimdall, Freya, Sol, Tyr, all of them. Tells about their deaths, and also Jormungandr, Fenris, the Jotun monster. And then the children of Odin, Thor, and Sol step up to take their place as the gods, and the cycle begins again.
It literally makes Revelations in the Protestant Catholic Bible
Christian.
Look like Last Call.
Right.
Last Call for
Alcohol. I never thought about that, but you're
I mean,
right.
These guys are like all reality, and then it's reset, right?
Yep. Like, whoever, you know, they are the gods, but whoever's above them just went, nope, beep, reset.
Reset.
Yep. But yeah, oh, I found the quote that I was looking for earlier. Watiti actually described the movie Ragnarok as, quote, a 1970s and 80s science fiction fantasy, the most out there of all the Marvel movies. He actually names Big Trouble in Little China as one of his influences. It's a fun adventure film that has big stakes, but it also has a breakneck speed and takes you on this crazy adventure.
Yes.
So yeah.
It is like Flash Forward meets Big Trouble in Little China.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Yeah. With a massive budget.
And you know, Mark Ruffalo, he's got social anxiety and stage fright.
In real life.
Yes, in real life, Mark Ruffalo, not Hulk. Mark Ruffalo has social anxiety and stage fright. So it took a lot, and Robert Downey Jr. is credited for actually getting him to, you know, to the Avengers set, you know, to tape that, right. Well, he, you know, he was trying to step in and, you know, do star type things. He was live streaming to his Instagram fans during the world premiere. So they go in, they take their seats, the movie starts, and Mark forgot to end his live stream. So everybody who was on his live stream got to see the first 10 minutes of Ragnarok at the world premiere.
Wow.
So, yeah, I thought that was really cool.
That is interesting.
Yeah, I was like, man, if I don't know, I saw that at the world premiere. How did you see it at the world premiere? Well, see, what had happened was.
Yeah, it was Instagram.
But, yeah, that would have been just great. Now, I know you do like the comics. In the Thor comics, do you remember what he transforms his hammer into to disguise it when he goes to Earth?
You know, it was a staff or a stick.
Right, exactly. It was a walking stick.
Yeah.
However, when they started doing the movies, it turns into an umbrella. They figured an umbrella was probably a little bit more appropriate for the, it was a more appropriate accessory for the God of Thunder.
Well, you know, that would make more sense. You know, a walking stick on a guy that big, you know, he probably.
Right.
And the umbrella would just be ironic.
Right.
That's pretty brilliant.
Oh, goodness. And, yeah, because I've wondered, you hear the same stories about Loki and Thor all throughout the Thor movies. Yeah, about him turning Thor into a frog. You hear that story,
right.
I think in, maybe not the first one, but I know you hear it in the second one, and I know you hear it in the third one. But the actual storyline behind that, it's a Walter Summerson storyline.
Walt
Simonson. Oh, yeah. Simonson, I'm sorry. Simonson, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that invented Beta Ray Bill.
Yes. This is actually one of his storylines where Loki does turn Thor into a frog, but
right. The
Thor frog actually meets another frog named Puddlegum, and he shares his god power, which turns him into Throg the Frog of Thunder.
Right. It's ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. Please Google this. You must see this. Yeah, you thought Howard the Duck was weird.
Oh, God. It's like Howard the Duck meets Ted the Teddy Bear without all the sex and drugs.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and something else I found, because you've always got these 6 degrees of separation type things. Cate Blanchett, to make sure that she was in shape and would be able to handle the role and all of that, studied the martial art capoeira. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Capoeira.
Yeah. But
the
that
Brazilian
is,
dancing martial art.
Yes. But that is also what Tom Hiddleston studied before the first Avengers movie.
What?
Yep.
Oh my god. It's a beautiful, beautiful art.
Oh yeah, I know. It's gorgeous. I actually pulled it up because I wanted to see, I've heard so much about it and, you know, wanted to see what it was all about. It's very beautiful. Looks like it could also be very friggin' deadly if it wanted to be, too, so. Yeah,
the South American, I believe. Or, island.
Well, they call it an Afro-Brazilian martial art.
Right.
So, yeah. But yeah, Hiddleston also, I love this quote. It's one of my favorites when it concerns Hiddleston and Loki. And I think it's the best description of Loki that I have ever heard.
Okay.
He's quoted as saying, "It's in Loki's nature to change. He's a mercurial spirit, and the minute you try to define him, he changes shape. But the events in Ragnarok try to inspire him to change forever, you know, to turn into the good guy. quote, the goddess of death shows up, and the stakes are high for everybody. So Loki, perhaps more than ever, is challenged to define himself in the face of that threat. He and Thor are in such an extraordinary situation where everything is so unfamiliar that their familiarity as family members becomes important.
Yes.
And he goes, right. I mean, and it does. It really, there's a scene, they're in the elevator going up. And Loki makes a comment. Thor says, I think the world of you. You know, I thought that we would fight side by side forever. And, you know, he gives him that whole speech. And if you watch Loki's face, when he realizes what Thor is saying, that, hey, you know, okay, I get it now. You go your way, I'll go mine. We don't have to do this whole brothers thing anymore. Just, you know, we can just call it quits and be done. His face just, it's like he's incredulous and then just shocked. And, you know, Thor finishes with, it's what you always wanted. And you can see on Loki's face that, okay, maybe that's not exactly what he wanted. You know, maybe he wanted Thor to fight for him and to fight to be his brother. Maybe that was the whole point. But when Thor just gives up, he's very uncertain, very shocked, and very unsure.
You know, that scene to me explained, and for those in the know, and I think including you, Jen, you guys will know, but that scene explained alignment in D&D perfectly to me. It seemed like Thor...
Speak up just a little bit, baby. I'm losing you for some reason.
Well,
sorry.
It seemed like Thor was very neutral good. He's definitely good.
Right.
I don't know if he's necessarily lawful or chaotic. I don't think so. No. I think he's neutral good.
I'd have to agree.
That being said, Loki is definitely chaotic.
Yes.
And he's not evil. But I don't think he's good either. You know, and so these two kind of opposites, this neutral good and this chaotic neutral, they're brothers.
Yeah.
And there's an acceptance where he basically tells his brother, yeah, you're right, you know, we're expecting to go separate ways because we're just not alike.
We're just too different, yeah.
We're just too different. And that really made them a fantastic team to watch. I really, really enjoy the son, you know, not just Ragnarok, but some of all the Thor movies. I love watching my absolute favorite duo of all time in Marvel movies is Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston.
Absolutely.
I love watching them in the same scene.
Well, I really, really like the fact, as I mentioned, Loki gets tricked continuously in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that Thor gets one over, not just once, but like twice.
Yeah.
He actually gets one over on Loki, and the look on his face is just like, I am so proud of you, but what the hell just happened?
Yeah, you know, he got
over on... Okay, I lost you. All right, guys, give me just a second. We're going to try to get our co-host back. All right, sorry about that little pause there. I think we're having technical difficulties. My co-host just disappeared, so that's a thing. I think what we're going to do here is we're going to carry this on to next week. So this will be Ragnarok Part 1, and then in 2 weeks, we will do Ragnarok Part 2, because we've still got a lot of ground to cover with this movie. It is incredible, it's brilliant, it's beautiful, and it really does define a lot of the Thor Loki relationship. So at this point, I will tell you how to get in touch with us. You already know. Depheadsandhiddlestoners@yahoo.com is our email. And then we've got the blog, which is at depheadshiddlestoners.com. Or you can go through barryreese.net and go through the link from that. We're also on Instagram. We're on Facebook. Dev Heads and Hiddlestoners group on Facebook. And, you know, hey, reach out and give us a touch. Let us know what's going on. Let us know what we're doing right and wrong, and we'll see what we can do to fix it. But, guys, have a great day. Have a great week. We'll see you next week. Not sure what we're doing yet, but it will be a Johnny Depp week. And, hey, until next time, later. Be good, be safe, or be good at it. Bye.